Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles while you're sitting down and turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians and chapter 1, and I'm going to start with the latter part of chapter 1. Paul is writing this close to the extended stay, close to the end of the extended stay of his time in Ephesus. 1 Corinthians contains great doctrinal truths, and it relates to us concerning Christian conduct. Yet the church of Corinth, even though it was gifted like it was, wasn't experiencing the power of God like it once did. There were mixed messages going on from the church of Corinth. Jesus saves, keeps, and satisfies. That's what was being preached. But at the same time, they were divided. At the same time, there was immorality. At the same time, they experienced powerlessness. Jesus had become just a part of their lives instead of their whole life. And the Apostle Paul addresses it forthright. Look at verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh and not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. You've heard me preach this text. God uses nobodies who just surrender to him. Verse 28, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now understand this, the world is clueless. The world is groping in darkness. Verse 30 says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And then he goes to chapter 2. I'm going to get all the way to the end of chapter 2, summarizing verse 1. He says, I, brethren, when I came not to you, came not with excellency of speech. I don't want to pull out the passage that I'm going to preach out of context. I want you to understand the background of what's going on here. Paul, first of all, says to the church of Corinth, I remind you, those that think you're bigger than life, God uses nobodies. And the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom, the greatest wisdom that man could ever invent. This world is groping in darkness. And know this, verse 1, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. It is all about Jesus. Circle that in your mind. It is all about Jesus. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then the next several verses I'm going to read, understand this, everybody look up here. It's not about personalities. It's not about personalities and lining up behind different men because they have a different personality. It's about Jesus Christ. The danger is, and we're all sheep, we kind of fall in behind personalities, and it's hero worship, and that's all wrong. He's saying it's all about Christ. Part of the reason for the immorality and part of the reason for the division and part of the reason for the false doctrine that is creeping in. Part of that reason is you're not following Jesus. You're not making it all about Christ. You're making it about personalities. He says, I didn't come with smooth language. Verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing or persuasive words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You might want to circle that a little bit in your mind. The dunamis, the dynamite, the power of God. It is not about salesmanship. It's not about Hollywood. It's not about Nashville. It's about Jesus Christ and his, the wisdom of God. Verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or complete, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God hath ordained before the world unto our glory. It says in verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The world, I'll say it again, is in darkness. They didn't even understand what they were doing when they nailed Jesus to a cross. The world today is in spiritual darkness. Apart from Christ, Christ being kicked to the curb in our culture, this world is a mess. You talk about confusion and chaos. That describes the world in which we're living. He says in verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. It's not about personalities. It's about a person. It's about Jesus Christ. Again, verse 9. I love verse 9. I quote it quite often, don't I? I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Heaven is yet to come. When we get to heaven, I said this just 2 weeks ago, your first words out of your mouth, first word out of your mouth is not going to be after you look around, after you open your eyes, it's not going to be rats. That's not going to be it at all. It's going to be something more along the line of, oh, wow. It's going to be, you know, I have not seen. We haven't even dreamed of the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Who knows God the Father better than God the Holy Spirit? That's what Paul, that's the argument that he is laying out here. And for anybody that does not have God, the Holy Spirit, indwelling within them and enlightening them, they cannot understand the things of God. They're clueless. I'm telling you, all around us in this county and the three counties that are in the eastern end, they think it's about religion. They think it's about being a Baptist. Or something else. They think it's about just, you got your group and you come together on Sunday morning. They're clueless of what it's all about. And except the Spirit of God teach them, and he cannot teach them unless they're born again, they're completely in the dark. That, talk about the world groping in darkness. Verse 11 says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Man cannot understand the things of God. I'm sorry, you can understand religion. You can understand a bell ringing or a candle being lit. You can understand a pretty song, but you cannot understand God and know what it's all about apart from God the Holy Spirit indwelling you. And that happens when you get born again. And then the Bible, man, it rings. You're not just reading a verse. It's like God takes it and just squeezes it into your heart and you can't get away from it. It says, verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. This world's a mess. There's so much confusion. There's so much chaos. I want you to know that God, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians and chapter 14 and verse 33, God is not the author of confusion. Confusion comes from the evil one, from the devil. Chaos, he is the God of chaos. He comes from the evil one, from the devil. We live in a world that is so confused. Capitalism in America, our own American culture, capitalism is being replaced by socialism. Freedom is being kicked aside for big government. The economy is wobbling. Mammon or gain or better money is not the answer. It never has been, and it never will be. You can print all the currency you want. It does not solve the problem. I said this last week. I'll say it again. The red wave, I hope it happens. I kind of think it's going to happen, but that is not the answer. It really won't change anything. It won't change man's hearts. Man will still be the same. There'll just be some different people at the top. Universities have ruined 2 and 3 and sometimes 4 generations, and now it has crept down into the grade school, and that's why there's so much cynicism and kids with bad attitudes and I know everything, that kind of thing. The church has been compromised. The Bible has been softened. The old-time religion has been kicked to the curb. And while the saints are, people are screaming into hell while the saints are entertaining themselves to feel good with a feel-good religion. Again, the result is confusion. The devil's always been about that. Jesus said he's the father of all lies. In Genesis in chapter 3, it was the serpent, it was the devil that said, hath God said, doing the best he could to cause confusion. But in it all, God is still in the throne. In it all, the church is still in the soul-saving business. In it all, there is a God, there is a Holy Spirit power. There is a, that's the biggest, can I say this respectfully? The biggest bang on earth. There's nothing like the dunamis, like the power of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, why all the confusion? Go back to 1 Corinthians. We'll pick up reading with verse 14. There's three kinds of men in the world today. And that's why there's that kind of confusion. All three are at odds one with another. And then you add to that the supernatural, the devil, and the powers of darkness. And this world is in chaos. And you know there's a world leader coming, and he's the Antichrist. We're out of here by way of the rapture. Before that ever happens, make sure you're born again so you'll be raptured from this earth before that 7 years of tribulation. Make sure there's a time and a place in your life where you repented of your sin with the heart, you call out to God and you ask him for salvation and you're born into the family of God and you'll not have to go through that time of Jacob's trouble that the Bible tells us about. But in the meantime, there's a doctrine that I'm going to preach this morning that explains all of the confusion that is going on in this world in which we live. Verse 14. We read the first man. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man does not, the unsaved man does not understand God. Over 1,000 generations have lived on this planet since the Garden of Eden. Man was created in the image of God in the person of Adam, and he fell. He chose sin. Man was put in a perfect environment, and he was banished from that garden. Man is a colossal failure. Turn to Romans in chapter 5. Romans in chapter 5, we'll read a verse that theologians refer to as the passage that describes federal headship. Romans and chapter 5. By the way, do not buy into the devil's doctrine that everybody's a child of God. That is not new. That's been going on for years. In fact, it took complete hold of the earth in the 1930s and 40s with a thing called German rationalism. We call it liberalism today. They believe in the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. We're all God's children. That's not true. Jesus said to those that weren't born again, you're of your father, the devil. You need to be born again. Then you'll be one of my children. It says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We were born to a natural world. We are born sinners in this world in which we live. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20 says, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Not a single one. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, there's none righteous, no, not one. We're born natural men and women. We're born a sinner. We were conceived in sin. The Bible tells us, David tells us in the Psalms, I was conceived in sin. I was born a sinner, and I was a sinner by act and a sinner by fact. We are lost. First class of people in this world today, there are men and women and children that are just natural men, natural women. No new birth. They have never been born again. Born to a natural world. Blind to a spiritual world. Verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Born to a natural world, blind to a spiritual world, truly they are clueless. They do not understand. They are not born again. By the way, religion without regeneration is just reformation, is all it is. That is not being born again. You need to be born into the family of God. Religion without without regeneration, that's the born-again experience, is nothing more than man-made reformation. Nothing's changed on the inside. The Holy Spirit doesn't come in and indwell that born again, that person that is not born again. The fact is, they're bound to a fallen world. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 4. I was going to read this later, but my eyes fell upon it right now, and I want to read it right now in case I don't get to it. Verse 4 of chapter 4 says, wherein they think the natural man, the unsaved man, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. The natural man does not understand. Man, why do you go to church three times a week? What do you mean you read your Bible every day? What do you mean you're not going to drink anymore? Man, it sounds like you're not cussing the way you used to cuss. What's going on? The natural man does not understand. What the natural man thinks is, oh, you got religion. All wrong. All wrong. Religion doesn't save. Religion doesn't wash away sin. You can light all the candles you want, and you can get baptized till you're wrinkled up like a dried up old prune. You can help little old ladies across the street from now until the cows come home. That isn't going to save a soul. Only the blood of Jesus Christ makes atonement for the soul. You must be born again, the Bible says. The natural man, he's groping in darkness. He does not understand. Here's a little caveat. I'll just throw this out. It actually would fit better with the next person, but the Holy Spirit will never lead you away from holiness. Never. Follow him. The natural man, he doesn't understand. It's not there. And there's so many people that are confused. You get baptized into the family of God spiritually, not by water, spiritually baptized. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, when you get born again. That means you're completely covered and you're indwelt. You're completely covered. And then you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 3:16. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:30, Ephesians 4:30. And then you're filled with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians in chapter 5. So when you get the Holy Spirit as a child of God, now you're in the pathway to understanding the things of God. Let's go look at the second person. Back to 1 Corinthians and chapter 1 and look at verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. The world cannot understand. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So we've got the natural man. That's the unsaved man for you, and just for our benefit here this morning, so we all understand. There are unsaved people in the world today, and they're clueless. They don't know what to do in leadership. They don't know what to do in fellowship. They're just sheep following people that are around them, and they're following in groups, and that's dangerous. And of course, that's chaotic, and it brings about confusion because there's no single message. And then there is the supernatural man or woman, or the spiritual man or woman, or the born again man or woman. It says in verse 16, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. The unsaved, they don't get it. God is so far above man. I'm the preacher standing in the pulpit this morning in front of hundreds of people, and I'm telling you, God's way above us. Man, I don't understand the great things of God. I can't even comprehend my own salvation. I know what it is. I know what the Bible says. And by faith I received Christ, and I got it, and I know that. And he gives me assurance. His spirit bears witness with my spirit. And I know the word of God. But why would he do it? I don't understand the Trinity. I don't even understand how my body works. I don't understand any of that. I'm really clueless to a lot of things. But when the Spirit of God, when your guy gets born again, Spirit of God indwells you, and then he begins to teach you. He enlightens you. That's a Bible word. He anoints you so you can teach others. That's a Bible word. He enables you to do the work of God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. That supernatural man lives by the Spirit of God. That supernatural man, that born-again man, learns from the Spirit of God. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 16. John, Gospel of John, and chapter 16. And verse 13. We have the mind and the power of God in the person of the Holy Spirit when we get born again. I understand things I couldn't understand before. Things make sense even within the Bible. Old Testament truths and events make sense like they never made sense before because I have the Holy Spirit inside me. Verse 13 of chapter 16, howbeit when he, I'm talking about the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you unto all truth. or into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it unto you. I could take you to several passages of scripture this morning that teaches us that the Holy Spirit is the one that we learn from. He liberates us through his Spirit. So the supernatural man, the saved man, lives by the Spirit, learns by the Spirit, and is liberated by the Spirit. And the carnal Christian doesn't understand this. The book of Galatians spells it out so we can understand it. The unsaved person thinks, oh, you're set free. That means you can do anything you want. You are liberated, so now you can drink again. You are liberated, so now you can do weed again. You are liberated, so now you can be immoral again. That's wrong. That's exactly what Paul addresses in the book of Galatians. Use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh. We instead are liberated. We're set free from the bonds of sin so that we can worship God, so that we can live for God, so we can live on the victorious side. We have been liberated from the curse of sin. You understand that? We have been liberated so we can make a mark for God. Two kinds of people so far. There's the unsaved man or the natural man. There is the saved man or the supernatural man. This next guy, he's the one that causes all the confusion. And we'll call him the unnatural man. This is the guy that's born again, but he lives like the world. This is the guy that's sending out all the mixed messages, and the fellow that is defeated and divided and dependent. Let's read it here. Verse 1 of chapter 3. And I, brethren, so here's the fly. He is the fly in the ointment. Understand this. This is the guy that is the conundrum. This is the guy that is the contradiction. This is the guy that's causing chaos. He's writing to brethren, not unsaved people, to brethren. And he says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, like saved men, but as unto carnal. Oh, third classification. This is the sarxenos, the carnal Christian. The Christian, that the person that has gotten born again, but he goes back to the world. Causes all kinds of chaos. Causes all kinds of divisiveness. It says here, even as unto babes in Christ, the carnal Christian is neither fish nor fowl. It's like he's a man or a woman that is out of place. They know they love Jesus, but they live for the world. Let's go to 1 Peter. Maybe I can find it real quickly. 2 Peter chapter 2. We read the word vexed. It means torment, distressed, no inner peace. This is truly a contradiction. We know that Lot did not do right in the Old Testament story of Abraham and Lot. But yet the book of Peter, under inspiration, refers to him as a righteous man. So here's this saved by grace, righteous man, sitting at the gate of Lot, ruling in Sodom and Gomorrah. And you think, man, his life's just a piece of cake. No, on the inside, he is vexed. He is tormented. He is stressed. It says in verse 7 of chapter 2 in 2 Peter, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. That was his life. For that righteous man dwelleth among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. This is a defeated child of God. This describes the chaos and the misunderstanding and the confusion in the world today. Because church houses are full of these kinds of people. People that say, oh, how I love Jesus. They'll sing it on Sunday morning and they sit on a bar stool on Friday night. And there's torment on the inside. And there's confusion. And they're causing all kinds of fog. And they become a stumbling block to people around them that are new in the Lord, new in the family of God. Or people that are looking and searching for the truth, but they're saying, well, he says he's got it, but look at the life. That doesn't really make any kind of sense. These are a defeated people, a dependent people. He said, I got to treat you like babes. It's like they're in diapers. Got to clean up messes all the time. Where's my food? That's my toy. Ah, he hurt me. He hit me. You know, and these are unnatural Christians. Name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. But living like and for the world? There's an answer. I want to go there right now. Go to Ephesians and chapter 5. Book of Ephesians and chapter 5. The answer is overwhelming. It exhibits the power of God in an ultimate way that just baffles mankind. It allows God to do things in the lives of his people that the world has no answers for, doesn't understand, and never will until they come to Christ. It is that Spirit-filled life. And the Spirit-filled life is an amazing life. That is the born-again child of God that is surrendered and under the control of the Holy Spirit. I wonder if that describes you this morning. Or are you calling your own shots and expecting God to jump on? Look at Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Here it is. Be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That is a Spirit-filled Christian. This is the surrendered child of God. The unnatural man is a self-centered and self-controlled child of God. The supernatural man, he's the man that just got born again, and he maybe doesn't know the whole score, but he knows he's alive right now under the Spirit of God. The natural man, that is just the unsaved guy. What's causing all the confusion? They're all fighting one against another. These three guys are fighting one against another, and the devil's saying, sick him, go get him. You hear what he said? Go after that. You don't have to put up with that. That's the powers of darkness are working in that world. And the devil is that author of confusion. And along comes the unnatural, or rather the answer, and that's the Spirit-filled man. And he's controlled by the Holy Spirit. And great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. He's surrendered to God. And he's just willing to take it however it comes his way, and he's going to make his mark for God. And that's a big deal. Are you a Spirit-filled Christian? You say, preacher, how do I do that? Is that a work of second grace? No, not at all. Salvation, once in a lifetime. You're born again, John in chapter 3, and your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you're there, you're a child of God forever. After you get saved, you get a choice of living for God or living for self. And you make that decision. You live for God, God's going to bless. You live for self, God's going to chastise. Over here, you've got the surrendered Christian, surrendered child of God, the New Testament born-again believer under the control of the Spirit of heaven. How does that happen? You empty yourself of yourself, and you ask God for an infilling. I don't even care if you use that word, but that's a Bible word, the infilling. You don't need to get saved again. You're already born again, saved by grace. You don't work for salvation. You don't work to keep salvation. But maybe you've messed up and you're doing your own, you're calling your own shots, and you're just looking for that Spirit. The Spirit-filled life is an amazing life. God does things in the life of a man and a woman or a young person that is surrendered to God that the rest of the world cannot ever understand or ever even experience. It's amazing. It's not spooky. It's not out of control. It's surrendered to God, and he is in control. And it's a great life. Prayers get answered. I mean, they get answered. I mean, God hears the name. God sees and hears the need. And he sends angels to do the work. He helps through deep times in life. Deep water. Hot fire. Difficult times. But he's there, and he helps.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you good news from the Good Book.